So the reading is Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29, and it's page 972 in the Bibles. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
Sorry. Thanks very much for reading, Paul. I'd love it if you keep that passage open in front of you, everybody. If anyone who's not sure, page 972... just before chapter 8, the big number 8 is chapter 8, so we're back in chapter 7, the last few verses there. The little number 24 is verse 24, and that's where Paul started reading there. Maybe a familiar story to lots of us, maybe something we think of as a children's story, but the Lord Jesus spoke it to a whole crowd of people, not just children, maybe not any children, I don't know. We're going to consider those words for a few moments now, so let me pray as we come to God's word. Father, as we have prayed in that song for your Holy Spirit to be at work in us, we pray now that you would speak and make us listen. Help us to be wise and to put your words into practice for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, there's a church building not very many miles from here, and it's very beautiful. It was built by a famous architect, but it's sinking. Apparently that famous architect didn't believe in foundations, and the London clay under the building is just not enough, especially when you get a long, hot summer. So parts of this church building that I'm describing have sunk 6 inches in the last few years. Just imagine the bill for putting that right. It's going to be astronomic, isn't it? Building foundations is hard enough when you haven't got a great big building on top of it already. A couple of years ago, just down the road near where we live, they knocked down a building and started building a block of flats. Now, we have little kids. We spent quite a lot of time watching the builders at work. It was quite interesting, to be honest. I enjoyed it, watching what was happening. The bit that seems to take forever, I'm sure you've seen this, is the groundwork, right? Laying the foundations. So they'll build great big holes and then they'll fill them back in again with something else. We watched them with massive drills and pile drivers and diggers and excavators, you name it. Because that's what you need, isn't it? If you want your building to last, and if you want to keep people safe, and if you want to obey the rules these days. Today we come to these last words of a big block of teaching that Jesus has been giving to the people who want to follow him in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. And you can see in our reading that Paul read to us, chapter 7, verse 28, right near the end, Jesus has finished. He's finished this teaching that he gives. How is he going to finish? How is he going to round it all off? Well, we have this quite famous picture, this little parable about two builders, two houses. If you were here with us last week, you might remember that in a variety of different ways, Jesus is showing us two ways to go. So we had two gates, didn't we? Two roads, two sorts of trees, two crowds of people. And now, these two men building houses. They happen to be men, but we can see, can't we, that this is about all of us. Did you see verse 24 and verse 26? They both say, everyone. Everyone who hears these words is like a man building. We all know how the story goes. If we didn't before, we've just heard it read from the Bible. The wise man, end of verse 24, built his house on the rock. while the foolish man, end of verse 26, built his on sand. They both built houses, didn't they? There are lots of similarities. You can just imagine two houses that might have looked the same. They're equally appealing. They're both in nice neighbourhoods. They're not too far from the station and near a Waitrose, something like that, you know? Both men build houses. And it's really important that we notice that both of these men are pictures of people who hear what Jesus says. Both of them. Pictures of people who hear what Jesus says. It says that twice again. Verse 24, everyone who hears these words. Everyone who hears these words. It's there in verse 26 as well. So one of these two men is you, if you're here today. You have heard at least some of Jesus' words in this service today. This is you if you've ever read the Bible, even just a little bit. The word of the Lord. We have heard what Jesus says. What will we do with it? That is the question that matters. We've heard his words. Will we do what he says? Will we build on rock or will we build on sand? Building on sand has got to be pretty easy, hasn't it? I mean, you know, putting the roof tiles on, that sort of thing, doesn't matter where you're building, but doing that hard work to get the building started, well, that's so much easier when you're trying to build on sand or just whatever you find, when you're not trying to dig into rock. You can basically just get on with it, can't you? Building on the sand is the equivalent of living your life today according to, well, whatever is the norm, whatever everybody else is doing. The easy way to live is to live like everybody else. Value their values, prioritize their priorities. Don't stand out from the crowd. Or if you do, only stand out because you're living the way they would if they could. You've got the bigger house, the better holiday, the more Instagrammable family, whatever it is. This person, this foolish person Jesus is describing, well, that person might really enjoy listening to Jesus. Both builders are pictures of people who hear Jesus' words, remember? So the foolish builder could well be someone who comes to church every week. This person might be taking notes in the sermon. They might be asking questions. They love understanding, maybe. They have a great knowledge of what Jesus says. Maybe they've even learnt Greek or something. But what don't they do? The foolish builder is an image of everyone who, verse 26, hears Jesus' words but does not put them into practice. They hear, but they don't do it. Because what Jesus says is hard to do. Building on sand is easy. Building on rock is hard, like literally hard, isn't it? In Jesus' story, just imagine the back-breaking labor that goes into building on a rock. It takes so much longer, it hurts so much more, it costs so much more. At the end of the day comes, perhaps, and the foolish builder's got a beer in his hand, and he's very satisfied with his progress, admiring his work. The wise builder, well, he is a broken man. He's been banging away at the rock all day. His joints and his muscles and his bones are aching. He's sweaty and stinky and dirty and nowhere near finished. We have heard Jesus tell us to do things that are so much harder than anything else that other people are telling us to do. Just for example, do you remember the golden rule a couple of weeks back? Lots of religious people, lots of nice people, they say, yeah, don't do to other people what you don't want them to do to you. And that's not a bad way to live, is it? You know, we'd love it if this world was a bit more like that, live and let live. But of course, Jesus goes so much further and he gives us so much more to do. He says, verse 12, do to others what you would have them do to you. It's so much harder because you can never tick that one off the list. It can never be done, can it? It's never completed. It's an amazing thing to do, but it's hard. And he has said so many other challenging things too. And we're going to come back to those shortly. Building on the rock is hard work. Both builders end up with a house, as I say. Perhaps two houses that look the same. You see, we're all building. We're all building. We are all living our lives. And crucially for what Jesus is teaching here, we have all heard what he says, or at least some of what he says. And therefore, we all have to decide whether we'll do it, whether we'll put his words into practice. The thing that makes this choice very difficult is that very often our non-Christian friends and neighbours, well, they seem to be having a lovely time in life, don't they? Maybe they're having an easy time of life. That's not always true. There are major struggles that can come to any of us, aren't there? But those people are not having to deal with the extra challenges of having to put into practice what Jesus says. That's going to make a big difference to so much of life. So they're not giving their money to church, for example. They're not giving their time to the church. If they want to, they can choose not to be committed to anything. So they can just do, you know, weekends away, for example, whatever, just like that. They're not letting anybody down. When difficult ethical issues come up, well, they can just make up their own minds, can't they? It's their own view and nobody else's. It is so much easier not to do what Jesus says. So why would we take the harder option? If you were here last week, this sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it? And that's because Jesus is expanding here and illustrating what he said in last week's passage. One big reason, of course, is that he keeps talking about these words of mine. He comes with royal authority, divine authority, and you have to do what the king says, right? His words matter. His words make the difference eternally. And so the aspect that we talked about last week is that you choose the narrow gate, you choose the harder path because of the destination, don't you? In last week's passage, the destination is life instead of destruction, glory instead of hell. And here, Jesus puts that sort of stuff into his little story. Maybe something more as well. So verses 25 and 27, they're nearly identical except for the last few words, except for what happens to those two houses. What will happen when the storm comes? That's what we're asking. There is rain, and presumably this is not just a little shower. I understand that there are sometimes torrential rains in this part of the world that come very suddenly and turn dry ground into raging, gushing floods. And we know, don't we, that those sorts of floods, that they can be extremely damaging, they can be life-threatening. So the rain comes, the streams rise up, Jesus says. They're not just streams anymore, they're torrents. And on top of that, the wind blows, a howling wind. It beats against those two houses, Jesus says. Take yourself back in your minds just a few weeks to good old Storm Eunice. Schools were closed, weren't they? The trains didn't run. People found that the trampoline in their garden or the shed in their garden, it wasn't in their garden anymore. It was relocated to their roof or somebody else's roof. The Millennium Dome was torn into pieces. And weren't you glad you weren't in one of those planes trying to land at Heathrow? Maybe you were. What is Jesus describing here? What is he illustrating? Well, in context, it seems very likely that he's talking about the last day. That moment when every single one of us will stand before his throne and he will give his verdict. Is it life or is it destruction? Is it, verse 23, I never knew you, away from me? Or is it, well done, good and faithful servant? The house on the sand fell with a great crash. End of verse 27. Life was easy, but in the end it just didn't stand up. It wasn't worth it, was it? Because we pay the consequences for ignoring the words of the one who spoke us into being. And the consequences are eternal. Back in verse 19, every tree that doesn't bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The easy life, does not continue into eternity. Devastating words. But if we've built our house on the rock, that is, if we've not just heard what Jesus says, but we've tried to do it, well, on that day, the struggle is over. The storm passes and the house stands firm. You're kept safe. And so on that day, well, the easy life is just beginning, isn't it? Why would you go to the effort of building on rock or putting Jesus' very challenging words into practice? Because they lead to life and because he is worth it. Having said all that, it does seem to me that we don't have to limit the storm only to that final day. That is the ultimate truth for sure, isn't it? But as well as that, we know that storms come in this life too. And Jesus would have us know that when they do, well, you'd better have built your house on the right foundation. When trouble comes, whether it's illness or insecurity of some sort, when our relationships fail or our lives are turned upside down for whatever reason, when the storm comes, will the house we've built stand? Jesus says it will for sure, as long as we're building in the right place, as long as we're trying to do what we hear him say. There is a security like no other, a stability, a grounding that can only come when we live with Jesus Christ as Lord. And of course that means trying to do what he says. Treasures on earth will let us down. The things that we value most in this life, well, they can be taken away in a moment, and they often are. But Jesus isn't like that, is he? Anything that's done for him lasts, as we thought about a few weeks ago. We're storing up treasure in heaven. The storms, they do come. We've been dealing with a huge storm over the last couple of years, haven't we? COVID. We're still very much dealing with the consequences, individually and as a church. Other storms will come. Have we built on the rock? Friends, we have heard what Jesus says. As we come to the end of these three chapters, we must stop and we must ask ourselves, are we doing it? We're all building a house. Is it on rock or is it on sand? Let me fly through just some of the things that we have heard Jesus say in the last few weeks. We could do the whole Bible, but we'll just stick with these three chapters for now, shall we? What has Jesus said that most challenges us? What has Jesus said that we are most tempted not to do, or we can just recognize we're not doing it? I'm going to fly through. Jesus said, chapter 5, verse 16, let your light shine. And that's not something that comes easily to many of us. Are we trying to make a difference in this world? In our branch groups, we've been thinking about personal evangelism. In our group this week, we were really challenged by Rico Tice's words. I don't know if you've done that one in your group yet. He says, if we're not speaking about our faith, well, we're not doing what Jesus says. And I need help with that. And probably so do you. Keep going. Jesus said, if we're angry with someone, we commit murder in our heart. He said, if we look at somebody lustfully, we commit adultery in our heart. Are we working hard to put those things to death? Or are we happy to leave them be for the time being? He told us to value our marriages if we're married. He told us to speak the truth always, even in those moments that nobody does. He told us to go the extra mile for people and to love our enemies, to love those people who want to cause us distress because of our faith. Love them. He told us how to give and to pray and to fast, to do those things secretly, knowing that our Father sees and rewards. He told us to store up treasure in heaven, not on earth. And he told us not to worry. He said, don't judge other people, don't look down on them. And he said, watch out, beware of those people who seem to talk the talk, but they're actually wolves in sheep's clothing. They're dangerous false prophets. He said, all those things and many more, are we doing it? Are we working on it? This is a lifetime's project, isn't it? Can't fix it all just like that. But it is not one to be put on the back burner. there is a danger, a real danger, that we get legalistic here. We think we'll be okay with God if we do all this, and then we beat ourselves up because we go, oh, I'm not doing enough. Am I okay with Jesus? That's not Jesus' intention. He said he has come to fulfill the law and the prophets. Do you remember that? He does what we could never do, because we all fall short on so much of this stuff. I was thinking, if on the last day the Lord just read through the Sermon on the Mount and he said, well, have you done it? Have you done it all? Well, we would have to say no, wouldn't we? We tried, hopefully, but we messed up again and again. But Jesus did it. Jesus fulfilled all of this for us. And yet he died. He died in our place so that we can know the perfect life he offers. To live with him as our Saviour and our King, it does mean working hard, yes, very hard, to put this into practice. But even more than that, it means accepting we can't do it ourselves. He has done it for us. I'm going to finish with some words from the book of James. James is the brother of Jesus, I think, and he is clearly reflecting on what Jesus has to say to us here. We did this passage a few months back, but let's look back at it. If you want to turn to it, it's on page 1213, but I'll ping it up on the screen as well. James chapter 1, verse 22. Let's see how these words are clearly building what Jesus said. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they'll be blessed in all they do. Absolute madness to look in a mirror and, you know, you see the gravy on your chin but you ignore it. And you go out to work or whatever it is. Madness. Far worse to hear Jesus' words and not do anything. And look what Jesus and James say there is for those who do what he says. There is freedom, James says. There is blessing. Blessing like no other, just how the sermon started. That's what we need to remember when it seems far easier to just to go with the flow. Choose the harder option. Do what Jesus says and know the freedom and the blessing that only he can give. The perfect law, the perfect word of the Lord, the blessing that he gives into eternity. Let's keep a moment of quiet. Let's consider what Jesus has said that we don't want to do. And let's ask his help that today we do it. Let's pray. Father, we have seen in your word that Jesus is your promised King, the King of all kings, the one who reigns into eternity, and we need to listen to him and we need to do what he says. We thank you for all these challenging words that we've heard from him in the last few weeks. We need your help to do more than hear those words, but to do them. So please, by your Spirit, show us where we're not doing that. And help us to do what he says. Lord, we know that in this life there is a cost, a great cost to doing that. Help us to recognize that, please, and yet to choose to live his way, to do what he says, knowing that that is the road that leads to life, that is the house that stands firm. We thank you that there is unimaginable blessing to come when we do what Jesus says. So help us, please, for his sake. Amen. Amen.